a word came to me this morning after I was in service, and that word is vision. How important it is for us to have a clear vision. I tried to look up the definition that I once had for vision, and only part of it came back to me. It wasn't given online like I had remembered it. But what vision really is to you and me is having our understanding enlightened to prepare for future events. Vision is not just for today. Vision needs to be for what's before us that we cannot see or know, or what might happen. We all know the scripture that speaks about vision over in Proverbs. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And I don't think that it's totally has to do with the events of the world and what's occurring in our world. And I look at it, and you may say to each other, well, we just don't know what's going to happen. And I don't think there's any way for us to know what's going to happen. But our vision is settled in things that are solid. Things that I can stand on today. May not know what to stand on tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow.
Yes, amen.
And I know who holds my hand. Thank the Lord. But I have been considering all of the messages, and I believe God intends for it to be this way, that messages have a tendency to blend together. And I believe that God uses one message to develop another. And I've sort of looked back over the past months, and I feel like that I can see that they're overlapping and they are building on each other. They're connecting, and it seems as though they're always ongoing. Sometimes we might feel like, well, this message should have been preached before that message. But God seems to work in different ways, and he works with our little human mind, and sometimes our little human mind doesn't always grasp it. And then he has to go along, and then he begins to give a vision, and he opens up our mind and our eyes. Over the past several weeks, there's been several things spoken about. Bread corn is bruised. How we can become food for others, feed others with our lives. And then several times, and I hope you don't get tired of me saying it, the Lord just burdened my heart with this scripture months ago. But we've quoted the scripture over and over from time to time, even in prayer meeting, that Jesus said to eat his flesh and drink his blood. So this morning, we want to look in the 6th chapter of John. It's a chapter that is unique. I don't really know of another whole chapter that that gives so much in one chapter along this line. If you study that chapter, you will find that it was an offensive chapter to some people. Jesus' words were offensive. And some people, some of his disciples went away and never walked with him again because of what he said in that particular chapter. And even his closest disciples, what did they say? When he said such things as eating his flesh, and we're going to look how the Lord gradually tried to open up to their minds. He tried to give them, he wanted them to grasp it just by speaking about bread. I don't think he wanted to have to go on to such heavy information that they became offended, but he did. So I hope we won't be offended today. I hope when that scripture is quoted over and over, and it may be quoted again and again, that we will not be offended. In John, the 6th chapter, we're going to read verses 67 through 68. When the disciples said, oh, this was a hard saying. And when those disciples left and never walked with him again because it was a hard saying, Jesus said to the 12, will ye also go away? And Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And what I believe is that the Lord is preparing us all for eternity. The messages I'm talking about in the whole Church of God. Looking online and even just looking at the titles tells me something. Sometimes you may not even have to listen to the message. The title will speak what the message is. And I believe God is working overtime. We often have said, we have felt that the devil is working overtime, and I believe he is. He knows his time is short. We've heard that scripture over and over. But we feel the oppression, the contest, if you will, of Satan even contesting the saints. We might think, oh, out there, you know, the devil is just working here and there and he's doing this and that. But I want to tell you, you and I are going to face the enemy. And we're going to face a contest. We're going to be tested. Are we going to be offended and go away also? Or will we be as Peter and say, Lord, where will I go? You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. So as we begin in this chapter, it starts out in a wonderful way. The multitude have come to listen to Jesus' words. They're curious. They're anxious to hear what he has to say. 5,000 was a multitude. And he was faithful. And he gave them his word. And then it came to a point that he knew they needed food, literal food. He had been trying to feed them the spiritual food. And what did he have? 5 loaves and 2 fish. Wouldn't you have liked to have seen that miracle and maybe ate of it? Well, we can only read of it and long for a miracle in our life. God allows us to know of miracles. And many people today say, oh, the day of miracles are past. To some degree, they are. Partly because of the hardness of men's hearts. People are not willing to see a miracle. As we were teaching the little children this morning, we spoke of Jesus walking on the water and Peter saying, bid me to come and I will walk on water too. And he did. And Caden said, well, I've tried to walk on water and it didn't work. Well, we have to have the right purpose for walking on water. And we can walk on water spiritually. Can't we? Can you walk on water? That's a whole message. So Jesus has just finished feeding 5,000, and I can't remember how many baskets was left over, but from this little portion of literal food, after he prayed over it and it was blessed, it was multiplied and multiplied. And these people were impressed. These people witnessed a great miracle, and they were able to even be filled by the miracle. After they saw the miracle and partook of it, you know what they said? We perceive that there's a prophet, just a prophet. Why did they not look beyond the humanity? Could they not see a miracle that came from God, from heaven? They didn't see it. They didn't have that kind of vision. And so they said, oh, we perceive we've got a prophet here. Well, the next day, these same people were hungry again. And they wanted food in the same way. And so they began looking for Jesus. And when they finally found him, and Jesus perceived, you know, you don't seek me for the real bread. You're really not willing to see the miracle. Did you know what a miracle was? It was a sign that he was the Son of God, that he had all power in heaven and in earth granted unto him by the Father. And you go back over to the Sadducees and the Jews and the Pharisees and all of these religious people that wouldn't believe in him, and they were saying, show us a sign. We'll believe if you will show us a sign. These people saw the sign, and yet they wanted the material part of it, and they couldn't perceive or have a vision of the spiritual. So Jesus said, you were filled yesterday. This is my words. And that's what you want today. And then he began to try to open up their spiritual eyes. And he started out in the simplest way. And he said, the bread of God cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the whole world. And what did they say? Give us that bread, because they thought it was something that was going to be given to them the rest of their life. They'd never have to work for it. It was just going to be free. They still were not seeing the spiritual aspect of a teaching that he was trying to give to them. Lord, give us this bread. Then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And he said that more than one time throughout that chapter. He said it over and over. And they weren't able to grasp it. I am the bread of life. And then he takes it just a step farther, just a little bit. I can see how he's trying to slowly introduce to them something that was really going to be offensive. He was hoping somewhere in the midst, and maybe some of them did, maybe some of them grasped the vision that he was the bread from heaven that was sent down for the whole world. And they grasped it, but not all of them did. The majority did not. And so he just went a little bit farther, and he said, if you eat this bread, you will live forever. They wanted that kind of bread too. And it was just offensive to some because some said, why? How can this man, because he went just a step farther then and added something else. He said, the bread I will give is my flesh. And that's when they just drew back and they said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now I'm going to look at a few verses connecting them, 53, 54, 56, 57. And then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, except ye eat my flesh, eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. It's almost like he's just hammering it away. You're offended because I've said the bread is my flesh, and now I'm going to go a little, you've got to eat my flesh and you have to drink my blood. And he did it again in 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. And 57, the last part of it says, even he shall live by me or because of me. There is life in blood. And yet we're not going to drink his literal blood and we're not going to eat his literal flesh. We've got to have a vision that looks beyond the surface of these words. And what is he referring to? And there were people there, maybe, that was able to grasp it and say, this is the Son of God, sent down from heaven. But again, the majority did not. And then Jesus said, the multitude, I'm skipping back up to verse 28, the multitude asked him, how can we do the works of God? And Jesus said, believe. Believing is so important for all of us. And down through the ages of time, just believing God's word, believing who he is. So what do we believe? You know, sometimes, I think sometimes we have to just sort of be reminded of what we're to believe in. Oh, we say we believe, And then there's the world that'll say, if you will just believe, you'll be saved. And they somehow skip over the part of repenting and you'll be saved. But they're connected. We have to believe, but we have to believe his word and do what his word says. And if it says, he that confesseth his sins, he will be forgiven. So I'm thinking that the word of the Lord is so important that we believe. And we believe that Jesus was the Son of God. And we believe that he was born of a virgin, because that's being contested and questioned. How can that happen? And yet, the word of the Lord says it, and I believe it. Can I explain it? I may not be able to explain it, but I believe it. You know, Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. For you and me to believe the word of God, it can be counted unto us as righteousness. I believe that God was the Father. I believe that Jesus is the God the Father and God the Son, and there is a Holy Spirit, and I believe it. Yes. We need to believe it. I believe that Christ was the Lamb of God, and I believe that Christ was the supreme sacrifice for all of mankind, and I believe in his death and his resurrection. Very important points to believe. I believe that he suffered for me. I believe that he bore stripes on his back to heal me. I believe it. I believe that he has, when he bore those stripes, I believe that it opened a fountain that reaches us today. I believe he is alive forevermore. Thank the Lord. I believe that he is at the right hand of the Father even now, making intercessions for you and for me. I believe it. I believe his word. You know what the scripture says. In the beginning was the Word was with God. Have you noticed that the Word is capitalized? It's a proper noun. It's the name of someone, a person. And it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then you skip over to Revelations 19 and 13, and it says, and his name is called the Word of God. Capital letters. That was his name. Christ was the Word. He was with the Father, and he came down here for you and me. I want to read a scripture now from Revelations 10, 8 through 10. Because I want us to think about the Word this morning. Jesus tried to introduce to a people that he was bread. And he had to go a step farther and say, you have to eat my flesh. And then you have to drink my blood. And there's no life in you if you don't. So let's look at the word now. It says, the voice I heard from heaven said, go and take the little book and in the hand that is in the hand of the angel. I've paraphrased some of this. I said unto the angel, give me the little book. And he said, take it and eat it up. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Speaking about the Word of God, the little book is the Word of God. I believe the message is going out today in these last days. Eat the Word. Oh, it will be sweet. Have you ever taken the Word and read it and you found it so sweet and precious, and it ministered to you, and it even spoke to you, and your eyes were opened sometimes? And then as it's being applied into our life, and I say digested, I think it's so good that we take the Word, and it's not just to study it for the sake of studying it. It's not for the sake of just to read it, but Brother Dan had a message a few, maybe weeks ago or months, and he talked about chewing the cud. You remember that message? And he spoke about a cow that takes in the food and then he brings it back up. And he chews on it a little bit more. And I think that God's calling for us to chew the cud, to take the Word and find it precious. Don't be offended at the Word. Don't look at it and say, oh, that's gross, because he said these things and they're hard sayings, and many people went away and never followed him again, and yet there were those that didn't want to leave. You're the only one that has the words of eternal life. And yet there's some bitter things. It's just, well, the scripture says, and it's not necessarily being offended by you and me, but it says it's impossible but that offenses are going to come. Did you know it's impossible but you may be offended at the Word? And you have to resist that offense. And you have to say, no, I'm going to digest this. I'm going to take this, because he's the only one with eternal life. There's another scripture in Jeremiah 15 and 16. And it says, it's from another translation. I've sort of mixed it up, but I think it speaks and says almost the same thing. It says, when your words came, I ate them. Oh, when we get a hold of the Word of God and we eat them, we're eating his flesh and drinking his blood. We're allowing him to be in us, to work in us, to abide in us. I'm abiding in him. He's abiding in me. He is doing a work in me that only he can do. I am not capable of saying, I need to live this way and I'll be saved. It takes knowing Christ and following him and living for him and seeking after him with our whole heart. He said, if you seek after me with your whole heart, you'll find me. That's how we find him, is to pursue him. The scripture says in another place, his arms are outstretched still. He is seeking for each one of us. But when you seek for him, you'll find him. You'll understand his words. It won't be offensive. You'll be able to look deeper than the surface. You'll be able to know the meaning. You'll have a vision of the meaning that is behind the offensive words. So this scripture says, when your words came, I ate them. And thy word was unto me the joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name. Do you bear the Lord's name today? Are you his child? Are you his son and his daughter? And you belong to him. Even when the bitter things come in your life, does it turn you away? Or do you remember how sweet it was when it was in your mouth? Do you remember the joy that you felt and the heart's delight? And I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. Help us, Lord, that we will always say, where shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. I want to speak now of some hard words in the little book. We need to be reminded. The song says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. Don't you know what the cross represents? A hard thing. Death. Suffering. Do we push the cross away? Jesus said, take up thy cross daily and follow me. At the beginning of that verse, he says to all. There isn't just a portion of people here today that this is for you. It's for all of us. You have a cross and I have a cross. And he's saying, you have to deny yourself because your flesh doesn't want to bear your cross. And so we go before the Lord. I remember distinctly a great trial, a great burden. I thought I couldn't bear it. And the Lord spoke so plainly to me, this is your cross. Did you know it changed everything? Once I realized this was ordered of the Lord and it was a cross for me, he gave me the grace to bear it. I can bear it today. I have a different attitude, a different outlook on it. I have a different vision. It's okay, Lord. It's my cross. God's calling for every one of us to bear the cross. Matthew 10 and 38, it says, he that taketh not his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Don't be offended with your cross. Don't turn away from your cross and not follow him anymore. The scripture also says that the preaching of the cross to some people, and I'm paraphrasing this because that's how it is today, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. You don't have to live that close. You don't have to bear those kind of things. You don't have to bear your cross. It's foolishness. But what does the rest of that say? But to those who are saved, it is the power of God. Isn't that great? It's the power. It's power for what? Not only to save, but keep. To take to heaven. Thank the Lord. He's able to take us all to heaven. I was looking at a song in our book, and the question came to my mind, what does it mean to eat his flesh and drink his blood? And I feel that it's in some verses of this song. Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Naked, poor, despised, forsaken. Well, maybe you're not relating to all of those words right now. You're not facing situations where you're lacking in those places. Or maybe you're not experiencing being despised. Or maybe you don't feel forsaken. But I want to tell you, you might. And that's part of eating his flesh, taking his way, picking up your cross, bearing these things. Because the verse says, I, my cross, have taken all to leave and follow thee. Thou from hence my all shall be. I think that's the secret, is giving our all and allowing him to work in us however he chooses. Does that mean you'll never have to spend some time on your knees begging for grace? I believe we'll all have to do that. Perish every fond ambition. All I've sought or hoped or known. Now I'm thinking of what I want out of life. How I want everything to work in my life. I have ambition, and I have all that I sought for, looked for, hoped for, everything that I've known. Yet how rich is my condition? Do you look at the richness of living for the Lord? It's valuable, it's rich, it's profitable. There is no, let's see if I can pull up that scripture in my mind. I know one scripture, he says he wants to bring us out into a wealthy place. Yet how rich is my condition, God and heaven are still my own. One portion of the verse, number 3, then it says, go, then earthly fame and treasure. Come, disaster, scorn and pain. Are we willing to invite scorn and pain and disaster, just so we might know him and the power of his might? In thy service, pain is pleasure. With thy favor, loss is gain. Thank the Lord. Several things in there spoke to me that that's how we can partake of his flesh and his blood. May the Lord take some of these thoughts and enlarge them and minister to you and feed you. We need spiritual food in this day. We need to be strong in the power of his might. God is able. He knows how to open these things up to our understanding. We can have a vision. We can see the value of it. And we can be enlightened. And it will not be an offense. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.